You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Podcasting from an undisclosed office tell somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and I guess as you probably know by now from the lack of sound, I'm alone in my little apartment or my office tell. John's on vacation. I believe he said he has about 10 days off. So it's just going to be me. I'm gonna answer some emails and get to a couple other little things. But one of those shows. Let's see. Your snack of the week. Now, usually I eat a little snack of the week, or we eat a snack of the week. But I ate it already. I know you're so disappointed. But I kind of made a video. Because it's kind of one of those complicated snacks. It's called Samgakimbap. Samgakimbap. Sam meaning three, and gak or ga meaning angle. So literally triangle, and kimbap kind of being a Korean food, sort of rice and with the nori. Which in Korea they call kim, the seaweed we usually associate with sushi. So it's kind of like a little triangle of rice wrapped in a triangle of samgakimbap. And then you kind of fill it with stuff. You can fill it with almost anything. There's all kinds of samgakimbaps available. Usually get it at a convenience store, 7-Eleven or Family Mart or GS25, one of the many, many convenience stores you see in Seoul. There's usually, probably every block there's about two or three convenience stores. I know just outside of my apartment, my office tell, there's one in my building, and right across the road, I think there's a GS25, and across the road there's a 7-Eleven. And it's got to be like the smallest 7-Eleven I've ever seen. It's kind of more like a 5.5. But if you kind of go right one building, then there's a Family Mart, and then if you sort of go left the next block, there's a convenience store called C Space, and then there's another 7-Eleven. So, they love the convenience stores here, but they're also pretty cheap. Unlike the convenience stores in North America, where they really, really jack up the prices, the prices on things you get in Korean convenience stores are fairly commensurate with the prices you'll pay in the grocery store. There's a tiny bit more of a markup, but not a lot. So some people, I'm sure, just actually live out of convenience stores, and you could do it pretty cheaply. For example, the samgakimbap, which I guess I'll eventually come back to after this very, very long aside. The samgakimbap's usually about 700 won, so 70 cents, and you could probably eat like two, three. Usually I like to eat three. We're really talking about, not much more than $2. For like three, and then for some reason they're always on sale too. Today I bought two, even though it says 700 won, two cost me 1,100 won. So A lot of times they're on sale. There was 1+1 sale, and then a lot of times you get something free, like whatever new beverage they've introduced and they're sort of pushing. For a while it was like pomegranate juice. You get a little free can of pomegranate juice. But yeah. But the convenience stores, a lot of people like the convenience stores because you can buy, you can buy, you know, booze, you can buy beer, and you can buy soju. And I don't know if there are laws against, you know, sort of drinking out in public, but if there are, they're not enforced, you know, along with most of the traffic laws and motorcycles on the streets. You know, why start with drinking outside a convenience store? But yeah, so a lot of times people just, you know, they'll get a beer and then sit outside the convenience store and just drink their beer with their friends. It's kind of a little outdoor pub cafe on the cheap. I've never actually done it, but it is kind of it does look like a fun thing to do, usually in summertime, you know, kind of sit with your friends around a little rather dirty table outside of a GS25, you know, drinking really cheap beer and just sort of, you know, yapping away. Back during World Cup, that was kind of a really popular thing. The convenience stores would sort of set up little big screen televisions outside, and people would be sort of all hunkered around the big screen TVs drinking soju at, like, you know, 4 in the morning. I think some of the games started like 4 in the morning. And yeah, good times. But something like I've never done, but I do intend to try it one time before I leave, just for the hell of it, or the heck of it. But yeah, so the Samgak kimbap I got is chemchi mayonnaise. Chemchi is the Korean word for tuna, and mayonnaise is mayonnaise. And so it's quite mild, but you can get really, really spicy ones. You know, gochu, like hot pepper, samgak kimbap. You can get like chicken, barbecue pork, beef, of course, spicy beef. Just there's all kinds of crazy, crazy combinations. And if you don't really, if you can't read the Korean, or you don't know exactly what a lot of the things are, it's a bit of a, you know, it's like a box of chocolates. I'm not going to quote Forrest Gump on you. It's just really like a box of chocolates, you know. Oh, crap, I got to quote Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. Okay, I said it. But yeah, it's fun. It's not like the, it's kind of fun just pulling off these random samgak kimbaps and trying them and going, ooh, that's delicious, or ugh. Yeah. But but like I said, the reason I ate it is because I did a little video, which I've uploaded to YouTube, and I will put a link to the video from our website, www.gokorea.info.info. And I don't think last week I actually gave the name of our website, so I'll give it multiple times in this show just to make up for last week. Yeah. So you can go there and you can sort of see how to open a samgak kimbap, because it's not obvious. I mean, there's numbers. There's like number one, number two, number three, and then I think there's a picture on the back sort of showing you how to open it. But you know, when you're kind of like hungry and you just want to get at the samgak kimbap, you just kind of try to open it up like a chocolate bar wrapper or something. But no, that's wrong. There's a very special way. You gotta kind of like number one is like a tab, and you gotta sort of rip the tab. And then that leaves kind of the number two and the number three, which are like little socks, or on the other angles, and you kind of got to very gently pull those off, and then you've got your whole intact samgak kimbap. Yeah. So again, check on the website for that enticing video. You can see my little tiny hands, and if you look really close, you probably won't see any fingernails, because, you know, I bite my fingernails. Something I've kind of done ever since I was a little child. It's a nasty, disgusting habit, but, you know, some people deal with stress, you know, by drinking or smoking, robbing banks. I deal with stress just by biting my nails. All right, main topic. Now, last week we were talking about John and I, we're talking about McDonald's. McDonald's breakfast is being served. And, you know, the major American fast food restaurants are here. McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. No Taco Bell. That's I think if they opened a Taco Bell in Korea, there would be the rejoicing you would hear. It would sound like the rejoicing John and I made when we discovered McDonald's breakfast was being served, but probably more. Oh, people would be very, very excited. There is apparently a Taco Bell on the American military base, but you have to have you got to be in the military to get access to that. So, yeah, no Wendy's. I think for a time there was what's it called? Someplace it's called Carl's Jr. Some other place it's called let me Google on it. I'm actually in front of my computer. There was a Hardee's. Hardee's was here, but I don't think it exists anymore. The last place I saw Hardee's was near the Sejong Center. In one of the buildings, I think where the British Council is, in the basement there was a Hardee's, but that's gone now. I don't even know if they ever had the monster thick burger, but yeah, but no Wendy's, no Taco Bell, and I guess maybe no more Hardee's. And if you're Canadian, no Harvey's. So sorry. But the Western sit-down restaurants, you have, so we got TGI Fridays, Bennigan's, Outback, Sizzler, don't laugh, Sizzler, Pizza Hut, and then there's a couple, I don't know if it's this one, I don't know if it's actually Korean, but called Seven Springs, and then there is definitely a Korean sort of family sit-down restaurant called Vips. Well, it's V-I-P-S. You know, we would call it VIPs, but Koreans universally pronounce it VIPs. But Sizzler is actually, it's good. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, you've been in Korea a long time when you kind of like, you find a Sizzler salad bar really, really good and you don't have nasty jokes about it. Oh, that's my little, if you heard that little bell, that's my toaster oven. I'm just making some pizza. Making my own pizza. I make it from scratch, you know. Make my own dough, make my own tomato sauce. I don't make my own bacon. Yeah, I'll just let my pizza cool down and continue. Yeah, so anyway, so the family restaurants. They call them family restaurants here because usually they're for families. Families like to go there on birthdays and things like that. Also, too, it's like it's a popular sort of... They're popular date restaurants. Sort of a guy will take his date. If you ever go to, like, you know, Outback or Sizzler or TGI Fridays, you see table full of women. You see families, and you see a man and woman out on a date. You almost never see just like a group of like four guys. Usually when Korean guys want to, you know, go out together and eat and sort of bond, it's samgyeopsal and soju. And that's sort of the bonding ritual here. Very rarely will four guys ever just sort of go to, Bennigan's or something like that. But then it's the... They're sort of reputed that, what were they called? The Dwangjung women. The Dwangjung women who are... Which was sort of the Korean term for these women that supposedly are like, you know, real, you know, gold miners that just sort of want a guy to spend a lot of money on her. These family restaurants were kind of the places where they usually wanted to go. So Outback, you know, take me to Outback. And then she would order the most expensive thing on the menu, and the poor guy would be, he's just a university student, and he'd be eating, you know, ramyun for the next 2 weeks to, you know, to afford this expensive restaurant outing. But they can actually be very expensive, too. Another one of those sort of signs you've spent a lot of time in Korea, when, sort of a full sit-down meal is over $6 or $7, you begin to question the value of that meal. So yeah, so the Western sit-down restaurants are actually fairly expensive. You know, entrees are like $18, $20. You get really healthy portions. Well, healthy, huh? But large size portions, and the salad bar restaurants like Sizzler, Vips, and Seven Springs, it's a lot of food. The thing I like about Sizzler is you actually have there's a taco bar, and you know, they got your taco meat and your taco shells and your burrito, flour burrito wraps and stuff like that, and. And they, you know, they actually put corn in the taco meat, which, you know, one of those signs you've been in Korea for a long time. If you don't even notice the corn in your taco meat, you've probably been here a while. So yeah, so they put corn in the taco meat, but like I said, they just tend to put corn in everything here. Let's see, Bennigan's is really horrible place to go. It's the menu is not at all like the menu we have in the West. Bennigan's is very, very sort of, I don't know, Koreanized. It's just things on that I would never ever recognize. The first time I went to Bennigan's was back in 2001 when I was here as a tourist. One of my women friends, of course. All my friends are women, pretty much. So I guess maybe saying women friends, it's almost like a tautology. So yeah, one of my women friends, she took me there, and the menu was like a Western Bennigan's menu. And there was fish and chips and stuff like that. And I think I remember ordering fish and chips because I was reading Roddy Doyle's The Van while I was in Korea about fish and chips. Truck, and I think they made a movie out of it with the engineer guy from Star Trek: The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. The I don't know if he's Irish or Scottish or English, but the curly hair guy. Anyway, yeah. So, but then Bennigan's they changed their menu, and it's I went there once, and I'm like, ugh, never go back again. Yeah. TGI Fridays, I guess I've only been at TGI Fridays once, and nothing memorable. Sizzler's good. Seven Springs is really good. Again, I don't know if there's a version in North America, but it's really good. It's like this pasta bar versus kind of salad bar, and they've got like crepes, a little crepe bar too, and you can make your own sort of ham and cheese crepe, or you can make your own dessert crepes. It's really good. And Vips, I've tried to go to Vips two or three times, and it's always packed. I mean, you can go there like 3 p.m. and there's an hour and a half wait, and so you can't even get near Vips. I think Vips is probably the most popular. Outback, the sort of the faux Australian steakhouse, Outback's really, really popular too. Usually the children, I always like to ask the children, you know, what is your favorite restaurant? And usually about 9 out of 10 say Outback. Pizza Hut kind of comes in a sort of a distant second, but yeah, sort of as a birthday restaurant, kids definitely love Outback. And if you remember, a few weeks ago I had Andrew on. Andrew was sort of messaging me on MSN, actually Yahoo, and was sort of wanting to know a good kind of date thing. And I'm like, oh, just take her to Outback. You can't go wrong with Outback in Korea. But let's see. But the big news is they've actually opened a Hooters in Seoul. There's one Hooters, the hick restaurant back in America. There might be some in Canada now. I don't know. Toronto, it seems to recall them putting Hooters up in Toronto. But, yeah, so everybody's all excited about Hooters opening in Korea, the first one. It's in Apgujeong. I don't even know where it is in Apgujeong. But I guess maybe some people are kind of, you know, there's It's a bit like sort of saying to people, like, oh, you know, Ethiopian food. You know, I love Ethiopian food, but if people aren't familiar with Ethiopian food, you know, the easy joke is they've got food. But, you know, I guess, you know, there's that stereotype that, you know, Asian women are kind of small-breasted. But, I don't know, based on my informal sample, Korean women hold their own in that department. So I don't think they're going to lack any talent or... But yeah, but Hooters. I don't think I'd go to Hooters here, and never went in Canada. When I was in Seattle, there was like a Hooters right next to my office, and I think I went like three times. You know, one time with, you know, the guys during lunch, wasn't my idea. And then another time, one of my coworkers, Rosalind, she was pregnant, and she like visibly pregnant, like, you know, 7-8 months pregnant, and she had this strong desire. She needed their chicken wings, and so she was just trying to, you know, corral some of the guys to go with her to the Hooters, but they refused. They didn't want to be seen with a pregnant woman at Hooters for some reason. But I'm like, you know, Roz, I'll go with you. You know, I just would feel safer at Hooters in the company of a pregnant woman, I think, than a bunch of guys. But yeah, I don't know. Hooters was kind of just, you know, it's like the you know, the women, they all come to the table and they've got their standard jokes. You know, like, see anything you like besides me? Ha ha ha. I don't know. Just bugs the hell out of me. But the strange thing about Hooters is, you know, as far as the Korea experience goes, is one, there's no tipping here. Now, I think if you're working at Hooters in America, you can, you know, make large amounts of money on tips. You know, stupid married men who've been married too long and, ooh, this 25-year-old remembers my name. I'll tip her $20 or something. I don't know. But, yeah, but in Korea there's no tipping. But I guess the women who work there get paid reasonably well, comparatively well. Minimum wage in Korea is about $3 an hour, and I was reading the waitresses at Hooters make $10 an hour. And I guess too, there's, like, you know, the lure of calendars and advance your modeling career, something like that. So yeah, but one of the, you was bringing this back to the family restaurants, you know, Bennigan's and Outback not being kind of a place for you know, sort of Korean guys to go. Apparently, you know, of all the Western restaurants, I hesitate to call Hooters a family restaurant, although a lot of times Hooters tries to sort of bill themselves as that. I guess it's very popular with guys. Obviously, and there's a, you know, there's a real mix there from all reports. Like, you know, I mean, just, you know, your foreigners and then your Korean salarymen and stuff like that. So a lot of people are sort of wondering, well, is it going to survive in Korea? But I guess, you know, as sort of being this Western sit down restaurant that's actually kind of, you know, groups of Korean men will go to. May, you know, they sort of have their niche, but it's strange because even before Hooters came, you know, one of the things Koreans are really good at is kind of they seeing the trends in North America and sort of getting them established in Korea. So, you know, they got Lotteria before McDonald's and E-Mart before Walmart, those kinds of things, and so. They tried to do a sort of Korean version of Hooters. It was called Better Than Beer. They're still around, but they're not very visible. Almost kind of exactly like Hooters, you know, the waitresses in the little short shorts and tight tops and things like that, and, you know, beers and chicken wings and stuff like that. Yeah, and then the latest trend too are these places called sexy bars. Again, I've never been to a Better Than Beer, and I've never been to a Sexy Bar. But the Sexy Bars are just apparently kind of like, you know, the waitresses are all in bikinis and things like that. And so, you know, it's kind of here. But I guess Hooters, too, on the tables, they kind of have a little note sort of saying, you know, don't touch the women. Because there are these, what do you call them, norebangs, song rooms, private karaoke clubs, where they provide the women, and various things go on in these clubs, and those are sometimes popular with a certain segment of, you know, the salary men, but they get to touch the women. So there was sort of a fear that maybe they wouldn't quite get what the purpose of Hooters was, but I guess it's all working out. In the news, I guess, let's see. Well, next weekend we have Lunar New Year. Usually they sort of spell it Solal, Sollal, kind of, if you're doing sort of a straight Korean to English sort of conversion, but it's more pronounced, I think, Solnal versus Solal. Even though the second syllable begins with sort of the L character, I think when you have, the first syllable sort of ends in the L character. Now, I think when you have two L characters in a row, the second one you then pronounce sort of as an N. There are, Korean language has a few of those where you sort of, if got to pronounce the first character of the second syllable different from the actual letter. For example, like a street is actually like R-O, row, but you pronounce it no, so it's not Jong Ro, it's Jong No. I guess that's maybe why that President Ro is President No or something. Yeah, there's not very many, I think, and trying to learn the Korean language, you tend to pick them up fairly quickly, and it's just one of the very few little kind of complications in an otherwise rather straightforward language. So Solnal. But Solnal is, I think it's on February 17th, and so a few days before is February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. So there's kind of this... Solnal is like sort of based on the lunar calendar, so it's different every year. And now Valentine's Day is a pretty big thing here. And obviously Lunar New Year is a pretty big thing here. So there's kind of... The department stores are a little... sort of split mind, trying to market for Valentine's Day, but also market for Solnal, Lunar New Year. So there's real kind of mixed message kind of going on. But I always like to go visit the department stores are always kind of fun to go visit before in the run up to Solnal, run up to Lunar New Year, because the narrator models, the women that sort of stand at the end of the row and kind of push baby diapers and cleaning products and beer and stuff like that. They dress in like hanboks and stuff like that for the Lunar New Year. Lunar New Year in Chuseok, they're all in their little hanboks, their sort of traditional Korean outfits, and that's kind of fun. It's kind of charming. You sort of walk by these women, and it's the only time I kind of don't. I'm kind of not afraid to make eye contact, because usually when they're in like little mini skirts and tight tops, I just try not to make eye contact with them. But when they're all sort of dressed up in these billowing dresses that don't sort of reveal their bodies underneath, I don't I'm not embarrassed and don't have much of a problem making eye contact with them. But they always seem a little bit now a bit embarrassed back, you know, kind of like, ooh, the foreigner's looking at me in a handbook. Do I look weird or something like that? I don't know. It's hard to describe the expression on their face, but it's charming and unique and kind of fun. I don't know. But yeah. And Valentine's Day, I probably talked about this before, but this sort of starts off, God, like the first of at least three Valentine's Day-ish days. Not holidays, but, you know, relationship observation days or something. So you've got Valentine's Day, February 14th, and then March 14th, you've got White Day, and then April 14th, you've got Black Day. So Valentine's Day, if I recall, Valentine's Day is the woman she gives to the man. Then on White Day, the man gives to the woman. Usually kind of marshmallow kind of products on White Day, and hence the term White Day. And then Valentine's Day, it's usually chocolate to the guy. And then Black Day, April 14th, is usually for single people, and it's kind of they eat black food, I don't know, to go with their mood or something like that. So, yeah, but I always thought if you are a Korean woman and you're dating a Westerner, you can kind of play both sides of the coin. So Valentine's Day, you can kind of play the Western angle, where you're kind of like, honey, it's Valentine's Day, you know, give me flowers and chocolate and a gift. And then the next month, you can be like, honey, it's White Day, give me, you know, chocolates and marshmallows and a gift. You can play your Western culture and the Korean culture, you know, both days to your advantage, maximize your gain. But you also get the weird gifts at work. I haven't got anything yet at work for Lunar New Year, probably near the end of the week. I just hope it's not pears or oranges or something like that. I'm not big on fruit. But when John comes back, we'll talk about our exciting Lunar New Year work gifts. Always fun and interesting. All right, let me get to some emails. First email comes from Tammy, and I'm not sure where Tammy lives, but Tammy says, first of all, I just want to say that I really enjoy listening to your podcast. It's always interesting to hear a first-hand account on living in a foreign country. Oh, thank you, Tammy. I got to say, almost every email I've ever gotten for this podcast has been very, very, very complimentary and very positive, and that's great. I know sometimes we kind of poke fun at a lot of stuff, but you know, I hope people understand that, you know, we're just poking fun of the reality around us, and it's in good humor and good spirits, and you know, I like to poke fun at my own country and culture and stuff like that. But anyways, so I really hope I don't ever offend anybody with some of my little jokes and stuff like that. But you can't make everybody happy, but I hope I'm making Tammy happy. All right, so Tammy's main question is, do you think that it is an advantage to become a certified ESL teacher? I guess she's sort of talking about, you know, like the, you know, the TFL certification, which is kind of usually like a 1 year, maybe even 2 year program. You sort of learn how to actually teach English, you know, as a foreign language. And I've never taken it, and I don't really know anybody that's taken it, and it's usually not required in Korea. You might find some schools that might pay you a little bit more or want you a little bit more, but for the most part, the private, you know, Hagwon industry pretty much just wants a body. They want, you know, you're American or you're Canadian, and they just want them up there. And as long as they meet the Korean immigration requirements, the minimum, BA, they're happy. So, yeah. But there are definitely much more. There are some serious schools, like, I think it's called CDI, Cheongdam Institute. And some universities, usually, if you want to work for a university, they prefer, like, MA, at least an MA, but if you have a BA and then sort of the you know the TFL, they'll make exceptions. So yeah. Let's see. Oh, damn, he also writes. Also, I apologize that Korea cannot seem to be capable of producing a decent cup of coffee except in Starbucks. It's rather odd since nearly everyone from Korea I have met here in the USA is addicted to that instant super sugary coffee you talk about. You don't get me wrong, Tammy. I actually kind of I like that instant sugary coffee you mention. I drink it quite frequently. You can get it kind of in the little coffee machines. You put in like 200 won and you get a little Dixie cup of the stuff. And it's sweet and it's coffee-ish. And it's good. I like it. It's tasty. But as long as you don't sort of understand it as being, you know, real coffee. Yeah, if you kind of understand it as sort of being kind of a liquid coffee-flavored candy, then it's excellent, yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to pay $5 for a cup of that, which was sort of before Starbucks, was kind of more of what you would find in sort of Korean coffee houses. But when you're paying like 200 won or 600 won, it's all good. Let's see, and another email from Brian. Oh, very short, simple, direct question. How long are each of you planning on living in Korea? I guess he's talking about me and John. See, John will be here until June. So, John fans, brace yourself. You've got about, March, April, May. About three, 4 months left of John. And I'm going to be here until probably November 2007. That's when my contract is up, and that's about the 4 years. So we make me be here for 4 years. So that's just about the extent of my ability to kind of really be away from Canada and my career. I'll talk about that a bit during the job opportunity of the week, but. Yeah, I can't put off getting back to real life much longer. And my parents aren't getting any younger either. They're retiring and, I don't know, maybe they'll start having strokes and stuff like that. And they'll need me, so yeah. Let's see, another email. This comes to us from Dave. Dave is actually in the Netherlands. Wow, this is our first European listener that we know about. But David is, he's 21. He's finished high school. I believe he says he hasn't gone to university yet. I can't really afford to drop work here and spend 3-4 years on a BA so that I can go to Korea. Dave wants to come here and teach, wants to be an ESL teacher. This is one of those, little problems. The minimums are you need a BA, at least a BA. I mean, you can have a Bachelor of Science or an MA or a Master of Science, PhD, hey, whatever you want. You definitely need the BA. And unfortunately, you also have to have a passport from what Korea sort of identifies as English-speaking country. So Canada, USA, UK, Ireland, South Africa is included now. It's Australia, New Zealand. I think those are the countries. No matter how good your English is, and if you just speak like a native, but you know you only hold a only. I'm sorry, I don't mean only, but you know you hold a Dutch passport or a German passport. There's the Philippine passport. There's you're never gonna get the E2 visa. If you're really really interested in sort of coming to Korea and sort of living here and experiencing life here, you can study here. Yonsei has a Korean language program for sort of non-Koreans that'll kind of hit the ground running. You don't have to speak a word of Korean. There's different levels, I believe, And yeah, it's about 3 months, I think. So, yeah, you can definitely come here as a student. Again, you're not actually, you're paying them to be here. You're not getting paid to be here. That's a little bit of a downer. You know, maybe there's always the opportunity to do highly, highly illegal tutoring or, you know, editing people's essays or stuff like that. I'm not advising you do that. Don't do that. But, I don't know. You know, hey, however you want to put food on the table, that's up to you. But yeah, definitely Google on the little Yonsei, Yonsei, Korean language program. I think a couple weeks from now, I'll have Andrew on, who's actually in that program, and he could give us more details. But yes, so right. So yeah, I'm sorry, but those are the breaks. Let's see. I've got an email from Darcy. Darcy's going to be coming to Korea June 10th to September 10th. And Darcy wants to know, I was wondering if you knew of any living arrangements in Seoul. I'm currently looking for places to stay, and if you know of any cheap apartments in the heart of the city, that would be great. As we mentioned a few weeks back, there's the system where you pay large amounts of money up front, and then you kind of live rent-free. But that's usually for sort of an extended period of time, not kind of the 3 or 4 months Darcy is looking at. But there is a thing called a Goshi Won, which is kind of like a study apartment. A lot of university students, they'll rent a Goshi Won, and it's near a university, and you basically get like a bed, a desk, and maybe a little sort of beer fridge, and no, you don't get your own washroom. It's kind of, you know, shared washroom facilities, and those can be rented rather cheaply and for, you know, short periods of time and things like that. I'm not sure how much a month, but it's probably like, you know, $100 a month or something like that. A lot of people will actually sort of use it as storage. A lot of ESL teachers, you know, when they're kind of like, you know, they're going to leave Korea for a bit and they're going to come back in like, you know, 6 months or something, but they've got a lot of crap here and they don't want to sort of sell it all. What do they do? So a lot of times they'll actually sort of rent one of these Goshi Wons and, you know, and then just store their stuff in the Goshi Won. And, you know, $100 a month for storage is not unreasonable when you look at sort of what storage costs in North America in a lot of cities. So yeah, so Goshi Won. A lot of times people, they like to come here on a tourist visa and look for a job. And that's kind of, it's not a bad way of doing it. I mean, it's much higher risk. But at the same time, you know, you can kind of come here and you can look around, you can check out the school, you can talk to people, you can figure out if you're going to get into a really bad situation or figure a good situation. But a lot of times too, you know, a good school might not really want to hire somebody in another country. They want to save on the airfare and stuff like that. So a lot of times they'll just sort of look around for someone local, someone who's, you know, just finished up their one contract and going on to another contract. So a lot of times, so those people who are going to come here, then a lot of times they stay in Yoguans, which are kind of like little traditional Korean motels. A lot of them that vary in terms of quality and price and location and intended purpose and stuff like that. A lot of times they're just sort of very low-end, love motels, places where people kind of go to have a little tumble, little yee-haw, ride 'em, skipper, with their wives, of course. But yeah, so maybe you might get into one of these places and every night your neighbors are using all the furniture, but other places are more geared for sort of short-term tourist stays and stuff like that. So sometimes people, you know, they'll even swing deals, like a whole month deal, at the little Yagwan. A lot of times they actually don't want you there, even like a month, because if they're just sort of being used as kind of like little, you know, little love creches, they could rent out the room, you know, multiple times a day. So, you know, $35 a day, instead of renting out for the whole day, they might be able to rent a $35 room out two or three times. So sometimes they might not even be quite happy to have you as a longer-term tenant. But actually, the Yagwans are kind of people's preferred option when they sort of come to Korea on spec. But you definitely want a lot of cash with you when you're going to sort of do that. Just never know. All right, and our final email comes to us from Esther. Esther, who is originally from Southern California, now lives in New England. Hope you're keeping warm, Esther. It looks like there's been some really, really cold weather in the Northeast. Let me just check the little Yahoo weather. What do we got here? Oh, boy. New York. It looks like the cold broke a tiny bit, I guess. I mean, right today, New York's low of -3. That's Celsius. Windsor, my place of birth where most of my family lives right now, is lows of -6. Montreal, -8. Tirana, -7. Still kind of cold. So, hope you're dealing with the cold okay. You might be interested to know, I don't want to rub it in, but this week, and it's been kind of spring-like here, we had a bit of a cold snap, you know, freezing temperatures, and now it's spring, early spring temperatures, you know, highs of 7, 8, 9, 10 Celsius. Sort of been wearing my spring jacket last few days. Yeah, so, on to more serious matters. Esther wants to know, could you comment on the recent reported suicides of Korean actress pop stars? Are Koreans reacting a certain way or learning towards a certain, leaning towards a certain opinion about these deaths? What do you think of these occurrences? How public are they in Korea? Is it all over the news, like Anna Nicole Smith here, or is it sort of a hushed subject? Thanks, I love the podcast. Well, thank you, Esther. To sort of bring our listeners up to speed, let's see now. Just recently, actress Jung Da Bin, on Saturday, she was found dead. Suicide is suspected. What is she famous for? She became a Korean star in Taiwan in 2005, starred in dramas and films. I don't think she's really super famous here for anything, but just in a couple weeks before, January 21st, a female singer named Yuni, she killed herself. I'm not sure why she killed herself, or why this woman killed herself. And then, you know, back in 2005, that was kind of a really big shocking one. For a lot of Koreans, this one movie actress called Lee Eun-ju, she killed herself. If you remember the movie Taeguki, about sort of a Korean War, kind of, you know, one brother's in North Korea and one brother's in South Korea. And, who was the guy in that movie? The South Korean soldier. Won Bin, my friend Rose, back in Portland. She quite likes Won Bin. I'm getting on a sidetrack here. But anyways, the female star in that movie, she killed herself. But Won Bin, that actor who was in Taeguki, he overnight big superstar in Korea, and then he had to go do his military service. And usually when movie stars do their military service, they get put in this like entertainment division where they kind of do like the Korean radio and TV and keep the soldiers entertained and stuff like that. But he specifically requested that he gets put on duty patrolling the DMZ, which is pretty much, other than maybe being a naval guy and sort of patrolling the the coast up around the border with North Korea, that's like one of the more dangerous jobs, because once in a while the North Koreans actually just take pot shots and shoot across the border, and sometimes the soldiers up there, the South Korean soldiers, actually go a bit, they go postal and they shoot each other and things like that. So it's very, and there's a lot of marching and searching through bogs and stuff like that, and there's landmines, and it's a very dangerous job. And so I think he kind of wanted to sort of, he developed this movie image of this, tough guy, and he wanted to sort of prove it to everybody. So I'm just kind of getting a little bit of a cold. It's got my Kleenex. Hugey. Anyway, so, sorry, coming back to the whole suicide thing. So in the last couple of years, there have been now three very high-profile Korean actresses sort of killing themselves. And why they kill themselves, I don't know. I mean, why do people kill themselves? Usually it's depression. The scuttlebutt sometimes is, the actresses, they get these managers. And, the managers don't want their little stable of, young actresses to sort of leave them when they get really popular. So what they do is they somehow entice them into intimate relations and videotape them. And that's always so they have that videotape, and they kind of threaten, like, if you leave, me as a manager, I will release this on the internet, and, the shame it will bring to your family. That happened a number of years ago with a Korean woman singer. Her manager / boyfriend made a video, and then she was going to leave, and then he released it on the internet, and it was a big scandal. But that's always something that could happen. There was a Korean male singer or actor even a few weeks ago. His ex-girlfriend, she was just like they described her as a bar girl. I don't know if that was sort of polite euphemism. Maybe she was like a prostitute or kind of worked in one of the high end. What I was talking about, those little karaoke, private karaoke bars, what are they called? Room salons, where the rich and powerful sometimes go and have the women sort of sing with them and provide services. She might have been one of those women. And the actor didn't want, I guess, have it known that he was sort of consorting with those kinds of people, and so he had to break it off with her when he became very much more popular and famous, and then she sort of killed herself, and it's all very tragic. But yeah, public, definitely public, and definitely in the news, and especially when the woman in 2005 from Daegu K, she killed herself. It was almost like Korea almost came to a halt that one day. It was sort of strange. I guess she was really, really popular. So yeah, why do they kill themselves? Either just, normal depression, or something's, their career has hit some roadblock, and they're worried about some skeleton coming out of their closet and shaming their family. Yeah, that's sort of a really big thing here, is, you don't shame your family. If you kind of walk around Gangnam in the morning, you see all these like cards on the ground with like for like escort services for prostitutes and stuff like that, and they all feature pictures of like Japanese porn stars, although they don't provide Japanese escorts, they provide Korean escorts, but I guess it's like they're not going to use a Korean woman's face on these little cards advertising their services, because although it's a city of 10 million people, it's there's a certain small town sense that you're going to know somebody, and they will know who she is and her family and where she works. And so no woman is ever going to appear on those cards, because it would just bring huge amounts of shame to her family. So they use Japanese porn stars on these cards. Talking loud and clear, saying just what we feel. Lying in the grass with the sun on our backs. Doesn't really matter what we do, what we say. With every little movement, we give ourselves away. This week's teaching opportunity. All right. Finally, a job opportunity of the week. No job this week, but I guess I kind of want to talk about the future. Because you're going to come to Korea and you're going to spend a year or two teaching. And a lot of times, a lot of people, they're coming here, they're just out of university. And it's almost like their first real job. And there's always a question, well, what am I going to do when I move back to, North America? What is teaching going to do for me? And, what can I do with this job experience? And as I was sort of hinting at the top of the show, my career is a technical writer. I'm the guy who sort of writes the help files and the computer manuals that the end users never actually use. But oddly enough, they won't buy the program unless there is a help file and a computer manual. But then when they really need help, they won't use it. They'll call technical support. So my job ends up being a highly paid placebo, I think. And one of the reasons I kind of have come to Korea to teach, I guess I just sort of got a bit sick and tired of being, well-paid placebo. It's nice to get paid, but then you want a bit of job satisfaction, and I just found a increasing lack of job satisfaction. So I think and thought, I really got to take a break from my career. But 4 years is plenty enough, and I'm going to go back to Canada in November 2007. And I have a couple friends who own software companies, and they're always pinging me like, when's your contract done? When are you coming home? 90% sure I'll be able to get a job with one of them. But I always sort of feel like, my teaching here is actually kind of dovetail nicely into my career, because there's also, not only are there a career called technical writer, but there's also a career called technical trainer. So you train people to use software and hardware and stuff like that. And, obviously they want someone who can write the lessons, and also someone who can teach the lessons. So I sort of figured, I guess it's not like I'm just taking a break, 4 years spinning my wheels, and I'm acquiring a skill I can sort of put down on my resume use. Because I always saw those jobs sort of advertised, and I never ever applied for them because I never really had teaching experience, and I never really liked to be up in front of people teaching, but now I don't care. I mean, maybe it's different if I'm sitting, in front of, in a room with like 30 adults versus, 8 children or something like that. I can't strangle and headbutt. And that might be frowned upon in the work world. But, so along those lines, there is definitely a need for in not just the software industry, but cell phone industry, a lot of photocopy office machine companies for trainers who can go to their client's office and sort of talk to a boardroom full of bored, demoralized people, which a lot of times I kind of describes the students at Hagwon. So it fits in nicely. Yeah, so that's actually kind of a good sort of little job, I think, you can definitely do after Korea. Get your foot in the door and get into a nice office environment, and you get to travel around and make contacts and stuff like that, and network, and maybe find a job at one of the client sites doing something else. And so before you come to Korea, like check on, you know, monster.ca or monster.com, you know, technical trainer or, you know, corporate trainer, stuff like that. Voicemail systems, that's another, I guess, another one where they need people to go to client sites and show them how to use the voicemail systems. I'm trying to remember all the little sessions I've been in. Yeah, that's definitely, I think, a good career path, you know, when you leave Korea. So have no fear. Don't think you're going to be here and it's going to have no value whatsoever. I think there's definitely, you can definitely, if you're smart and savvy enough, and you can sort of parlay into, you know, into a pretty decent future career as well. I mean, you've got a lot of time here, so, you know, try to use your time to sort of, you know, learn about things, you know, learn about computers and stuff like that. I mean, you know, cell phones, I mean, you're probably eventually going to get a cell phone, and a lot of the cell phones are, you know, the cell phone technology here is like 2-3 years ahead of what we're going to have in North America, so, you know, you might be able to go back and you know, you'll be on the cutting edge and get a job with a wireless company teaching people how to use their advanced features on their cell phone. All right, so that's sort of our Johnless show. Next week is, as I was saying, Seoul Now, so there will be no show. Tune in, I guess, in a couple more weeks. And again, thanks for all those emails and all the nice little compliments. And keep them coming. Your questions to GoKorea, GoKorea, Korea with a K, @gmail.com. Check us out on the internet at www.gokorea.info. And again, check our blog for the YouTube video of me opening a Samga Kimbap, and you can check out my short, stubby, fingernail-less fingers. My girlfriend once, she described my fingers as looking like little sausages. She loved me. They've got trees and mooses and sled dogs, lots of long